So we're going to, hopefully I didn't trick anybody, we're going to take a break for a couple of weeks from Tehillim, just in preparation of Pesach, and we're going to focus on something very related to Tehillim, and that is going to be Shir HaShirim. So Pesach is just under, not to scare anybody, it's just less than 4 weeks of Pesach. I think today will be the first day of Pesach, 4 weeks. Last night is the first Seder, so 4 weeks. And the Gemara tells us, it's not on the sheet, that 30 days before Pesach, we have to start preparing for Pesach. That Shloshim Yom, 30 days before a holiday, some people say maybe only Pesach, but for sure Pesach it applies to. One has to start preparing for Pesach. There's a lot to do for Pesach, a lot of halachas. The Seder, kashering one's kitchen, chametz and matzah. So we're not going to focus on halacha. That's not the slot that we focus on here. But I did want to turn our attention to Pesach a little bit. And so instead of Tehillim for the next couple of weeks, we're going to focus on Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim, of course, was written by, who is Shir HaShirim written by? Solomon. Right, Shlomo, King Solomon. So we've been focusing on Tehillim, which was written by David. And we actually, 2 weeks ago, towards the end of David's life, he spoke about David's tefillah, his prayer for his son Shlomo. And so Shir HaShirim is one of the few, one of the many Sfarim that Shlomo wrote. And look at source number one for a minute. So we'll see why there's a very, very big connection between Shir HaShirim, Song of Songs, which is one of the five Megillahs. We just read Esther the other day on Purim. So Shir HaShirim is also, the Song of Songs is also one of the five Megillahs that we read on Pesach. Source number one, there's no English, so I'll translate. It says, V'noagin Lomar, the Shulchan Aruch writes, the custom is to say Shir HaShirim b'Shabbos Shel Chol HaMoed. So when you have Shabbos Chol HaMoed on Pesach, in Shul, we read from the Megillah of Shir HaShirim. V'im Shabbos B'yom Tov HaAcharon, what if there's no Shabbos Chol HaMoed? Sometimes the way the calendar works, there's no Shabbos Chol HaMoed. Shabbos is actually one of the days of Yom Tov. So then we say it, Omrim Osoba Oso Shabbos, we say it at the end of Pesach on Shabbos, which happens to be Yom Tov. So we always say Shabbos Shir HaShirim. But, and look, interesting source number one, which is in contrast to Megillah, the custom of the Jewish people is Shelo Livarich Aleihem. We don't make a bracha al Mikra Megillah. If you were in Shul by Megillah's Esther, the one reading the Megillah made a bracha, a few brachas. One of them was Mikra Megillah. By Shir HaShirim, it's interesting, we do not make a bracha on Shir HaShirim, even though it's also one of the Megillahs. We do not make a bracha before we read it. And another difference is, in most places, we read it from a chumash. We don't read it from a klaf. The Megillah, Megillah's Esther, the one reading it, the chazan, he didn't read it from a chumash. You have to read it from like, it looks like a Torah scroll. It's a klaf. A scroll made from animal hide. But Shir HaShirim on Pesach, even though it's one of the Megillahs, we don't make a bracha on it, and we don't read it from a klaf in most places. Also true by another Megillah, Eicha. On Tisha B'Av, we read also a Megillah called Eicha. So there also, we read it out of a chumash, and we don't make a brach on it. Why do we say Shir HaShirim on Pesach? So, source number two, the Mishnah Berurah gives a very basic reason. He says, Mipnei Shemefurash Bo, because explicit in Shir HaShirim, is Inyan Yitzias Mitzrayim. Shir HaShirim, as we'll see, is basically a love song between the Jewish people and God, Jewish people and Hashem. And in it, the Jewish people recount basically their entire history. From the leaving of Egypt, which is when the Jewish people became a nation, until in the future, in prophecy, until God eventually redeems us. So because many, many of the chapters of Shir HaShirim, of the Song of Songs, is about Pesach, so we begin to read Shir HaShirim on Shabbos Chol HaMoed. That's one minhag. There's another minhag, which if you look in the Haggadah, whatever Haggadah you're going to use this year, so you'll see that Shir HaShirim is actually printed at the end of the Haggadah. In most Haggadahs, maybe not all of them, Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, is printed at the end of the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Now, why is that? Look at source number three. So this is the Maseches Sofrim, which I think we quoted a couple of times. It's one of the, we'll call the minor tractates. There are 36 major tractates. There's tractate Brachos and Shabbos. Sofrim is a minor tractate. It goes through a lot of the different customs, what we read on certain holidays from the Torah, different davenings that we say. So source number three says, and here you have the English, Bir Shir HaShirim, the custom is to say the Song of Songs, B'leile Yomim Tovim Shel Galus HaChronim, both nights of the last days of Pesach. In Israel, it would only be, they only have one day of Yontiv. But in out of Israel, the minig is to say Shir HaShirim, the custom is to say Shir HaShirim, after the Seder, after you finish the Haggadah, Chetzio B'leile Echad, the first four chapters, the first half of Song of Songs, the first night, B'chetzio B'leile HaSheni, and the second half on the second night. Now, I don't know how widespread the custom is. It's a difficult custom to follow. The Seder ends, Most people don't end the Seder before 11:30. It could be 12, 12:30, 1 o'clock. So to then open up Shir HaShirim is a hard custom. But for me personally, it's one of my favorite times of the year. If I get to do it, some years I get to do it, some years I don't get to do it. But as we'll see, Shir HaShirim is, in the eyes of Chazal, the holiest of all the books. Of all Tanakh, maybe not the Torah part, but of Nevi'im and Ksuvim, of all the songs, Shir HaShirim is the ultimate song. The ultimate love song between the Jewish people and God is a song of songs, Shir HaShirim. So you go through a whole Seder night, hopefully doing the mitzvos and talking about leaving Egypt, and you get to that point at 12:30 at night, and you're saying Shir HaShirim, talking to God, expressing the love of the Jewish people and Hashem back and forth, like a love song, as we'll see. So it's really a beautiful moment. So I encourage everyone, as I know it's difficult, but anyone who, after hopefully going through the next few weeks of Shir HaShirim, to connect to it a little bit. So if one could look at it, either on the Seder night or Shabbos of Chol HaMoed, to connect to Pesach, it's definitely a beautiful custom. And I actually was happy this year, because I always get frustrated at myself, that every year I would say Shir HaShirim after the Seder, and then I fall asleep during the middle. Sometimes I'll wake up right away, sometimes it's like 3 in the morning, you wake up, and so I was very upset. You always, you don't finish it, you fall asleep in the middle, it's not so good. But I saw some people bring down, that's actually the point. There's actually a halacha that one is supposed to talk about the exodus of Egypt on Seder night until sleep overtakes you. Until sleep overtakes you. Achi chatfen hashena. So some say, it's also true by Shir HaShirim, you should spend the whole night either talking about the story, leaving Egypt, or saying the Song of Songs until sleep overtakes you. So many times, I think I fulfilled that mitzvah completely. Even you only get a few words in, only a few sentences in, but at least you fulfilled that custom of falling asleep on the Seder night with the words on your mouth of Shir HaShirim or of leaving Egypt. Yeah?
It says Hafronim, which is the last two.
Right. So that was the original minhag. No, so that was the, right. So there are many different customs. Some do it at the end of Yontiv. We also do it on Shabbos and Chol HaMoed, and then some also do it after the Seder night. So you see that Shir HaShirim is interspersed the whole holiday of Pesach. You have people saying it the beginning of Pesach, you have people saying it on Shabbos Chol HaMoed, and the end of Pesach. Yeah, very good. Very good point. So that actual custom, I think, is not as well founded. I don't think many people say it the end of Pesach, but we say it after the Seder, and then we say it again on Shabbos Chol HaMoed. Yeah, people say it both Seders, if you're able to, and then again on Shabbos Chol HaMoed, we read it in public in the shul. It's actually also another minhag. This is just a side point. On the Seder night, some have a minhag to not lock their doors, not lock their front doors. Because the Sukkim really tell us, and Chazal tell us, that it's a Leil Shimurim. It's a night that we're watched from Hashem. Just like that night when the Jews left Egypt, they put the blood on their doorposts, and nothing harmed them. So there is a minhag. I'm not going to pass them like that. It's a hard sock to give, but some people have the custom to maybe, you know, I have three locks in my door here, so maybe do two locks or one lock, zero locks. But also, it's very interesting as well, if you look at the text of the Shema that we say before we go to sleep on a normal night, so there's a whole long text that many people say, the Kriyat Shema Lamita. Many, many verses, psukim, that we say for protection. When you ask for protection, you're going to sleep at a dangerous time. So on Pesach night, many have the custom just to say the Shema. You don't say all those other psukim, because again, Pesach night itself is a very holy night. It's a night that the Leil Shimurim, that God watches over us. No, please, go, yeah.
So, do you say that after you fall asleep and wake up and then say the Shema? If you're saying
what? You're supposed to do it before you go to sleep, right?
Right. So then when you catch yourself at 4 o'clock, then you say the Shema.
Right. Maybe, yeah.
Is that how you do it?
Hopefully it's not 4 o'clock, but hopefully it's closer to 2 o'clock or something. Right, you're born, yeah.
As an aside, do you say it on Shabbos?
I think some people don't say it on Shabbos because it's a request.
Okay.
The main parts of Kriyat Shema is really the Shema and then the Bracha of Hamapil.
Okay.
So that we say all year round, but many of the other verses we don't say on the night of Pesach because it's a Leil Shimur. It itself inherently is already a night of protection. Okay.
The first night.
Both nights for us. Meaning, in Chutz La'aretz, outside of Israel, we're not sure which the first night really is. I thought we have two Seders. So the second night, halachically, even though now, of course, we do know when it is, but in our mind, halachically, it's a doubt when it is. So we treat the first two nights like it's the first night. Okay. So why do we say Shir HaShirim on after the Seder? So the Mishnah Berurah said the reason we say it is because it's a lot of mentions to the leaving of Egypt. But as we'll see on a deeper level, There's a much, much deeper reason also for why we say Shir Shir. And I want to just quote one idea before we get into the sources. We just finished the holiday of Purim. 30 days after Purim, we then experience Pesach. Now, nothing in the Torah or in our calendar is a coincidence. It's not a coincidence that 30 days after Purim, Pesach comes. Hashem could have made Haman's plan be in any single month of the year. Hashem orchestrated it that you have Purim on the 14th of Adar. 30 days later, you have the holiday of Pesach. So what's the connection between Purim and Pesach? What's the ladder? What's the connection between celebrating Purim and going right after Purim into the holiday of Pesach? Right, good. Both happy times. But very good. And very good. Actually, when the Gemara says, Mishenichnas Adar, when Adar comes in, you're marbin bisimcha, you increase joy, Rashi there writes, if it was me writing the commentary, I think last week I said if I was writing the Siddur. So if I was writing Rashi's commentary, I would have said, why are you happy when Adar comes in? Because of Purim. Rashi says, why are you happy when Adar comes? Because of Purim and Pesach. So already you see there's some connection between Purim and Pesach. It's not a coincidence that we have Purim, right after that we have Pesach. We don't fast, we don't say Tachna, and the whole Nisan, it's a happy month. Correct. So just perhaps one idea, which is going to be a good introduction for Shir HaShirim, just to contrast and connect, in a way, Purim and Pesach, is that Purim is the holiday where Hashem's miracles are totally hidden. We spoke about Hashem orchestrates the whole Purim story, but from a distance, behind the curtain. Hashem's name doesn't appear at all in the Purim story. If you think about the holiday that is the total contrast to that, it's Pesach. There's no other holiday where you have more revealed miracles than Pesach. You have the 10 plagues, open miracles. The end of Pesach, in the splitting of the sea, open miracles. So perhaps one idea is that we go from Purim, where our effort is to try to find God in the hidden miracles. And after we accomplish that, after we reach a point as the Jewish people where we could find God in the hidden miracles, then God rewards us. God allows us to see all of the revealed miracles. So we have to work on Purim to see God behind the scenes in the Purim story. Then 30 days later, after the Jewish people reach that point, we see open miracles from Hashem. So it's sort of like a ladder. You're ascending a ladder, first working very hard to try to find God in nature, to try to find God in the Purim story. And after we accomplish that, hopefully, and we experience the Purim, so then we merit Pesach. Pesach is when God totally reveals himself. And that's really the essence of Shir HaShirim. We're going to read, hopefully, starting next week, the actual Psukim of Shir HaShirim. But there's no bigger Sefer in Tanakh which speaks about God's open love for the Jewish people than Shir HaShirim. There's no Yontif like Pesach, which talks about God's revealed miracles like Pesach and the Haggadah. And there's no Sefer in Tanakh which speaks about God's love for the Jewish people like Shir HaShirim. It's the ultimate Sefer of closeness between Jewish people and God. And so on Pesach, where our nation is born, where God reveals himself openly and tells us that he loves us and chooses us as the nation, that's why Shir HaShirim is so connected to the holiday of Pesach. Because all other books in Tanakh, it speaks about God loves the Jewish people and it speaks about the Jewish people's love for God, but there's no other book in Tanakh which is so full, 8 chapters only speaking about that point, only speaking about the love. The parable is going to be between a husband and a wife, but the love, the nimshal, the real story is about God and the Jewish people, and that is the entire subject of Shir HaShirim, which really captures the message of Pesach. That is where we got, so to speak, married to Hashem. Hashem chose us on Pesach, that's when we became a nation, and that's why Shir HaShirim, as you pointed out, finds itself the whole Pesach. People are saying it on the Seder night, people are saying it on Chol HaMoed, people are saying it at the end of Pesach. Throughout Pesach, is completely taken over by Shir HaShirim. Okay, so that is a little bit about Shir HaShirim. Now let's get into introduction. We're not going to get to any of the psukim today inside, but I want to speak about a little bit the facts about Shir HaShirim, the importance of Shir HaShirim, and the next week and the following 2 weeks, we're going to really go through the actual text, hopefully get to the first few chapters, and get ready for Pesach. So look at source number 4. This is from the Zohar. I don't know how many Zohars we've quoted in this class, but this might be a first quoting a Zohar here. So there's no English, which makes sense. We don't translate the Zohar so much, but I'm going to translate for you. And the Zohar says, Pasach Rabbi Yossi v'Amar. Rabbi Yossi, one of the great rabbis in the Mishnah, said, Shir HaShirim Ashir L'Shlomo. That's how the verses start in Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim Ashir L'Shlomo. So who wrote this? Shirasada is in Aramaic. This song, it arle Shlomo Malka. Shlomo was inspired to write this song. When? When did Shlomo write it? Kad itbini, when he built, from the word like binyan, kad itbini, when he built Bei Mikdasha, when he built the temple, when he built the Beis HaMikdash. At that moment, when Shlomo merited to build the Beis HaMikdash, there was such a love between Hashem and the Jewish people. That was the moment where Shlomo was inspired to write Shir HaShirim. Now, we mentioned, I think, a couple of times that David longed to build the Beis HaMikdash. Many, many of the chapters of Tehillim that we've spoken about, you see David longing to build the Beis HaMikdash. For different reasons, David was not granted the opportunity. But David, like we saw 2 weeks ago, davened for his son Shlomo to be successful, to set in war, in being a leader, in building the Beis HaMikdash, and Shlomo accomplished that. And Shlomo, pretty soon after he became the king, accomplished building the Beis HaMikdash. At that moment, when he finished building the Beis HaMikdash, he was so inspired, he was so overtaken by the relationship between Jewish people and Hashem, that immediately he wrote this Song of Songs, the Shir HaShirim. Now, if you look at source number 5, and this is actually a Gemara, which I think we've quoted 4 or 5 times, because we always, in Tehillim, we often quoted the Gemara that there were 10 authors to Tehillim. David was the final redactor, but there were 10 authors. So in that same paragraph in the Talmud, it goes through every single book in Tanakh and tells you who wrote it. So if you want to know who wrote the book of Kings, Malachim, the Gemara tells you. If you want to know who wrote Eicha that we see on Tisha B'Av, look in that Gemara tells you the author. So it's interesting, if you look at source number 5, when it's talking about Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, it doesn't say that Shlomo wrote it. Look at source number 5, you have the English too. Chizkiah, who was one of the kings, Visiato and his people of his time, Kosvu, what did they write? They wrote Yeshaya, the book of Yeshaya, one of the prophets. But then it says they wrote Mishle, Proverbs, Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, and Kohelet. Now we often assume, and that's the truth, that Shlomo, King Solomon, wrote these 3 books. We're focusing on Shir HaShirim. But Shlomo also wrote Koheles. When do we say Koheles in the year? What holiday? Close? Sukkot. Chol Hamoed Sukkot, we say Koheles. No pressure. And then Shir HaShirim and Mishle. It didn't get into the, I guess, the text of the Siddur, which is thankful because about 30 chapters of Mishle. So that would be a very long service. Shir HaShirim we say on Pesach. Koheles we say on Sukkot. So even though Shlomo wrote these 3 books, the Talmud is telling us that it was a later king. It was Chizkiah who wrote them. And seemingly the explanation is, as we mentioned a number of times with Tehillim, that just like Tehillim, we said, David came up with the idea. Or Moshe came up with the idea. Or Adam HaRishon, the first man, we said, came up with many of the chapters of Tehillim. That doesn't mean that they compiled it into the final book that we have. They wrote the words. They thought of it. Even, you know, Lahav, that you have nowadays, you have a singer, and then you have a songwriter. So a lot of times you have a songwriter, and then you have an editor, and you have a director, and you have a singer. So the songs and books, Lahav, they'll go through many, many phases. So to Tehillim, so to Shir HaShirim. David wrote Tehillim, many of the chapters. But it could have been that later on it was redacted by the men of the Great Assembly. Shlomo wrote the Song of Songs. He wrote Mishle, and he wrote Koheles. But he perhaps didn't combine it and redact it into the final form. That was a little bit later, a few hundred years later, by Chizkiah. But Shlomo was the one who originally compiled all the ideas after he built the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, now we're going to get ready. Hold on to your seats, get your seatbelts fastened, because now we're going to go to turn the page into source number 6. And whoever has not seen this Mishnah before, this line before, hopefully it will inspire us for greater appreciation of Shir HaShirim. So the context of this Mishnah is a little complicated. It's in the Mishnah called Yadayim, which literally means hands. Now, why is it in the Mishnah Yadayim? Because Chazal made a decree that certain books, actually, ironically enough, the scrolls of the Torah give off impurity. They could make one's hands impure. The rabbis were worried that if you keep the scrolls with other foods, let's say you have a scroll of Esther. So you have no storage, you keep it in your food pantry, let's say. So what's going to happen? You're going to have mice, or maybe Jacksonville, other creepy crawlers, come to get your food, and then they're going to start nibbling on your Megillas Esther too. So Chazal actually made an interesting rule that certain scrolls, certain books, give off impurity. You would think it's ironic, they're the holiest of books. But we didn't want people putting these scrolls next to food. So certain books of Tanakh, they actually gave off an impurity to try to discourage people from storing these holy scrolls with other food. No one wanted their food to become impure. That was a major problem when the temple was around. So in order to discourage people from leaving these scrolls with the food, they said the scrolls could actually give off some tumah. That is the context of it. But I want to get to actually Shir HaShirim. So look at source number 6. Omer Rabbi Akiva, Chas v'shalom, lo nechlak adam Yisrael al Shir HaShirim shol tetame es yadayim. Again, that's not what we're going to focus on. But look at this following line. Rabbi Akiva says, talking about Shir HaShirim, the second line in source number 6, She'ein kol ha'olam kulo kedai. The world was not worth being created, kiyom, except for the day, like the day, she'nitan bo Shir HaShirim l'Yisrael. Meaning the whole world was worth being created just for the day that Shlomo wrote Shir HaShirim. If it was only that day, it would have been worth God creating the entire world just for the day that Shlomo wrote and gave over the Song of Songs. It doesn't say it's about Megillas Esther. It doesn't say it about Tehillim. It doesn't say it about Shir HaShirim. The Song of Songs, the entire world was worth it just to be created for that day. Why? And this is a well-known lie, which really encapsulates the whole book of Shir HaShirim. Shekol ha-kesuvim kodesh. All of the holy writings are holy. All of Tanakh are very, very holy. But v'shir HaShirim is kodesh kadashim. It's the holy of holies. So all the books in Nach are very holy. Tehillim is an incredibly holy work. But Shir HaShirim is the holy of holies. That's on a different level. Just like in the temple, there were different rooms in the Beis HaMikdash. You had the Kodesh, that's where the Mizbeach was, that's where the Menorah was, and then there was an inner room called the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. That was the room where only the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, could go one time a year in Yom Kippur. So you have things that are holy, Kodesh, but then there are things that are Kodesh Kadashim, the Holy of Holies. So says Rabbi Akiva, all the books in Tanakh are very, very holy, but Shir HaShirim is the Holy of Holies. There is no holier book in Nach, for sure in Nach. Maybe Torah is different because that was written by God himself and given over to Moshe. But there's no holier book in all of Nach than the Song of Songs, than Shir HaShirim. And as we're going to see, the reason why this is so ironic is because if you actually literally read the words of Shir HaShirim, it seems very, very unholy. It's really a love song between a man and his wife, a man and an estranged woman. It seems very, very unholy. And that's why the commentators spend so much time making sure that we know that we can't read Shir HaShirim at face value. It's very interesting that in all of the Arch Scroll books, whenever you see Shir HaShirim, so in the Machzers or in the Sitters, so always they begin, Shir HaShirim always begins, if you have very good glass you can see this, but they always put, they write, the translation presented here is allegorical based on Rashi's commentary. None of Art Scroll's books ever translate Shir HaShirim literally. All their other commentaries, when they translate the whole Torah, they give you the literal translation often. And in the bottom, they'll quote the different commentaries. But in none of their books, they tell you to begin with. They don't want to mislead you. They don't translate the words literally. Because if you take the words literally, it's a love song between a man and his wife. It doesn't belong in a shul necessarily. It doesn't belong in a Tanakh. So all the Rishonim, including Rashi, make a very, very big effort to try to tell us that we can't take the words literally. You take the words literally, it doesn't seem holy. But the goal is, that's why we're going to spend a few weeks on it, is to try to uncover what's really behind it. What's the nimshal? There's a parable, and then there's the real life. So the parable is between a husband and his wife, but the real story is about God and the Jewish people. And says Rabbi Akiva, out of all the books in Nach, Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kadoshim, the Holy of Holies. Look at source number 7 for another beautiful idea. And this is from the Targum, the Aramaic explanation on Shir HaShirim. So I'm going to read the Aramaic, but you also have the English. Shirim v'tushpachin de'amr Shlomo. Again, it's on the first line. This is the song that Shlomo wrote. Neviah, the prophet. Malka de Yisrael, the king of Israel. Kadam ribon alma. And then he writes, Asarte shirta. There were 10 songs It Amru Ba'alma. In all of history, there were 10 songs that were ever written. There are 10 times where the Torah calls something a shir, where it gives it the title and the accolade of being a song. There are 10 of them, and what? Shir Adain. This song, the Song of Songs, Shir HaShirim, Mishupach Min Kulan. It's more praiseworthy than any of them. There are 10 songs throughout history that were written. This, the Song of Songs, is the holiest, is the most praiseworthy of all of them. So what are some of the 10? What can we guess? What are the other 9 songs? What are other songs in the Torah? Az Yashir, one of them, very good. So Chana has a song. David has songs. Devorah has a song. And out of all those songs, even Az Yashir, think about Az Yashir. Az Yashir was written, the Jewish people just saw the sea split. The rabbis tell us that what the Jews saw, what the lowest maidservant saw at the sea, was greater than the highest of the prophets when they were getting their prophecy. Every Jewish person, when they split through the sea, was on a higher level of prophecy. It says that even Yechezkel was the one who wrote the prophecy of what we call the Maisa Merkava, the deepest secret of the Torah. Every single maidservant at the splitting of the sea reached a level of prophecy higher than that. That was the song of Shir HaShir. And yet, says the Targum, the Song of Songs is even greater than that. So think about the level the Jewish people were on when they split the sea. Think about the level David HaMelech was on when he wrote Tehillim. But the Song of Songs is the greatest out of all of them. We'll read it now. Shirasa Kaimaisa. What was the first song ever written? Omar Adam. I left this in there because we actually spent time on this song. What was the first song ever written by Adam HaRishon, by the first man? Bizman, in the time, to Ishtavik Lechovte, when Hashem forgave him. Adam and Chav sinned. Hashem forgave him. What song did he sing? I think we mentioned it. That might have been actually that quote-unquote hurricane day. So I think we had a small crowd when we did this one. But when we say Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos, Adam HaRishon wrote that Mizmor. Why? Because Adam did the sin on Friday. Adam actually, obviously the time was very different then. Adam and Chava were together on Friday. I guess quote-unquote got married on Friday. Had their kids on Friday. And they sinned on Friday. So clearly the time then was a little different than now. That would be a short labor and pregnancy. 5-6 hours. So then Adam sinned and he saw the world getting dark. Because it was his first day ever alive. And he saw the world getting dark. And he didn't realize that there was day and night. He thought that God is ending the world because Chava and I sinned. And he was ready to lose his life, that the world was going to end. The next morning when the sun came back up, he realized that God had forgiven him. It wasn't that God was destroying the world. That's just day and night. That's how the world works. And he said, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. So that was the first song ever written. That was written by Adam HaRishon. So Amar, and he said, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. What was the second song? Shirasa Tinyasa. The second song was Amar Moshe. Ibn B'nai Yisrael, Moshe and the rest of the Jewish people sang Bizman to Bazalahon when God ripped open Yamsuf, when he split the Yamsuf, they sang Az Yashir. Then I skipped the other 6 of them. Then we have Shirsa Tishiyasa. What was the 9th song ever written? That's our song. Omar Shlomo Malka de Yisrael, King Solomon, the king of the Jewish people. He said it, Beruach Kutcha, he said it in the Holy Spirit, Kadam Ribbon Ka'al Mashem, before God. And when's the 10th song going to be written? Wasn't written yet. The 10th song is going to be written, Be'idan, at the time, De Yipkun Min Galusa, when the Jewish people are finally redeemed from this long, long exile. So out of all the 10 songs, so I was thinking, it says at the beginning of this, the paragraph that we read, that there were 10 songs ever written, and Song of Songs is the greatest. Now the final song out of the 10 is when Mashiach comes, is when the Jewish people are going to be redeemed. But it sounds from this paragraph that even that song is not going to reach the level of the Song of Songs. Out of all the 10 songs, this was the greatest. So maybe it means, except for that final one, I don't know. But definitely of all the songs ever written in history, from when Adam was created until 2024, the holiest of all the songs was the Song of Songs written by Shlomo. Yeah, please. Well, yeah, right. Karibon Olam. It's Aramaic, right. So in Aramaic it means before, it means God, the master of the world. Yeah. So that's one of the zmiros. Yeah, here it happens to be the same words, but right. Kari ben Olam is one of the zmiros we sing on Friday night. Very good.
I just have a question.
Yes, please.
Who designated which is the greatest song, which is the first song, which is the second song?
Right, right.
Who's the one that...
Right, so the Targum is it's a very, very old source. The Targum, the actual Targum, when you open a Chumash and you look at the Targum, so that was actually given to Moshe at Har Sinai. That the Aramaic, we read the Targum. It's called Targum Unklos because Unklos was actually a convert who the Jewish people forgot the Aramaic, the Targum. Unklos was the one who sort of revived it. So Unklos is given credit for it, but it was given over to Moshe at Har Sinai. So a lot of these Targum, this one, the Targum on Nach was not from Unklos. It was probably from Yonasan ben Uziel, someone else. But it seemed like that was a tradition. That was a tradition given over, that the tradition was that Shlomo's song trumped everyone. And even Rabbi Akiva says, right, it's a lot of chutzpah in a way. Rabbi Akiva is saying, out of all the books in Tanakh, this is the Holy of Holies. How about Megillah's Esther? How about Tehillim? Right, Tehillim was written by David, Shlomo's father. But yet Rabbi Akiva still thinks that Shlomo's song is on a much higher level. So when that originated, I don't know, it's a good question. But you already have Rabbi Akiva, one of the greatest of all Tanayim, he's saying the Song of Songs is the holiest. It trumps everything. It trumps Tehillim, all the books in Tanakh, and Nach at least, Shir HaShirim trumps that. But it's a good question. It seems like chutzpahdik at first. This is the greatest song. Greater than Az Yashir, greater than Tehillim, but yeah, that's true. It's a good point. But if you look at source number 8 and 9, let's turn the page now. Like we said earlier, the literal reading of Shir HaShirim is very, very troublesome. It's very troublesome that Shlomo HaMelech, if you don't learn it with the commentaries, if you don't learn it with how the Gemara learns it, with the oral law, it seems like a love song. It seems like it's like a romance novel. And if you look at source number 8, this is the Avos to Rabbi Nassan. The Avos to Rabbi Nassan is an expanded version of Pirkei Avos. So Pirkei Avos is a couple of chapters, 5 chapters, 6 chapters, with the last one. Avos to Rabbi Nassan is much, much longer. It's an expanded version of Pirkei Avos. And look actually what happened to Shir HaShirim. Barishona, at the beginning, after Shlomo wrote it, Hayu Omrim, Mishle, Vishir HaShirim, and Koheles, these three books of Shlomo, Genuzim Hayu. They wanted to put them away. They didn't want to include them in Tanakh. Mishle is Proverbs. It's nice, and it's nice folk sayings. Koheles also has a lot of issues. Shir HaShirim is a love song. So at first, the rabbis didn't want to actually include Shir HaShirim in the canon of the Tanakh. They wanted to put it away, hide it. Shlomo wrote it, but we're not going to include it in Tanakh. Shayu Omrim, what would they say? They're mishalos. They're nice sayings. It's beautiful writings. Ve'enamin aksuvim. They're not, they shouldn't be part of Tanakh. Look at Tanakh. Look at Megillah Esther. Look at Yeshaya. Look at Tehillim. Tehillim is all about the connection with Hashem. David davening. We're going to include Shir HaShirim. We're going to include that. It's a very nice book. It's very inspiring. It's very romantic. But we're going to include that book in Tanakh, a love story between a husband and a wife. We're going to include it in Tanakh. The Amdu the Garden to Osam. They actually put it away. They hid it. They put it in Geniza. They put it away for safekeeping. Geniza literally means to safekeep. Meaning like we have Seamus, so they found it's like Geniza. We put it away for safekeeping and hiding. There's a famous thing called the Cairo Geniza. Where in Cairo they found, basically it was like this. They had a big Seamus box. They found in Cairo, but that shameless box didn't include some ripped art scroll sitters. It included like real texts from like real. So that was like a major find called the Cairo Geniza. Geniza basically is shameless. You put things away; they're holy. You can't throw them out, but you put them away. So they put Shir HaShirim in Geniza.
Is that like sometimes we think like other religions put some of our religious books
in like hiding? Yeah, they say in the Vatican in Rome. That's for sure true. For sure, they have things.
They have some. Yeah. Some of our books.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And the terrible thing about that, if you mentioned it, that now we have a printing press, so we can copy a million times everything.
Right.
But you have things that were handwritten, that were either burnt or stolen, that were never seen again. So we have all the Rishonim, right? We have Rashi, he's a Rishon, he wrote a commentary. And we have Tosfos. There are probably some of those people that we never heard of,
right,
because it was burnt in their manuscripts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's burnt and it's totally gone. No, for sure. There are definitely times in history when... Like, you know, what's that movie, The Hunchback of Notre Dame?
Yeah.
So the real church of Notre Dame, that was the site of a major burning of books of the Jewish people, the 1400s. So that's the word Geniza. So So back on track, the rabbis actually hate Shir HaShirim. They don't want to include it in Tanakh. But Ad Shebo, Ad Kesel Gadola, until the men of the great assembly came, Upir Shoasam, until they came and explained the real meaning. So if you take it literally, you're right. You take the words of Shir HaShirim literally, it should not get into Tanakh. It's nice, it's beautiful. Maybe someone could use it on a, you know, a Valentine's Day card or a Tuba Av card, but it's not Tanakh until the rabbis came and uncovered the secrets. And not only did they bring it back into Tanakh, but as we saw, it was the holiest of holy. It's Rav Akiva says, it is the book in Nach. It's Kodesh Kadashim, the holy of holies. So look at the trajectory of the life of Shir HaShirim. It went from a book that they didn't want to include in Tanakh, and now today, it's the holy of holies. The holy of holies, Shir HaShirim. Okay, let's look at source number 9. And with that introduction, I think we can appreciate source number 9. With the danger of Shir HaShirim is that you can, as we said, you can really view it as a love song. And that's why, look at source number 9, and this is a problematic, even halacha l'maisa, even today, it's a big question, we don't seem to follow this halacha, but says the Gemara in number 9, you have the English too, Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis taught, Hakori Pasuk Shel Shir HaShirim, if you take a verse of the Song of Songs, the Osa Oso, and you make it into a min zemer, if you make it into a song, with music, and with instruments, the Hakori Pasuk Beis HaMishtos, and you sing it at parties, or at simchas, below zmano, when it's not supposed to be read, mevi ra olam, you bring evil to the world. Mipesha Torah chogeres sak, the Torah, so to speak, dons sackcloth; it goes into mourning. Ve'omedes lefanei Kadosh Baruch Hu, it stands before Hashem. Ve'omeres lefanav, and it says in front of Hashem, Ribono shel olam, Master of the world, asuni banecha kikinor. Your children made the Torah. They made me like some harp. Sheminagnaboleitzim, that clowns play. So you take a line from Shir HaShirim and you make it into a song, the Torah, so to speak, goes into mourning. Now, this is a big problem, because as we go through the Psukim in Shir HaShirim, it's probably the safer out of all of Tanakh that has the most songs made out of it. Some of the Psukim, Ani Ledodi Vedodi Li, Pischuli, so many of the songs are from Shir HaShirim. And that's very, very problematic. It is a song, right. So it's Shir HaShirim, but we can't turn it into a song. The Gemara is saying you're not supposed to take one of these verses and take out a guitar and start dancing to the song.
So you're not supposed to put any music to any of it. Is that what the Gemara is saying?
The Gemara sounds like, yeah, you should not make any of Shir HaShirim into music if you're not saying at the right time. Meaning, after the Seder, the time to say Shir HaShirim. So if someone wanted to sing Shir HaShirim, that would be fine. But seemingly what the Gemara wouldn't be happy with, maybe, is at a wedding. To use it at a wedding, Ani Ledodi Vedodi Li, the Gemara is not happy with. Now, why Shir HaShirim? Why is Shir HaShirim more severe than all other books? There could be other issues with making other books into songs also. But this Gemara only talks about Shir HaShirim. So why is Shir HaShirim so dangerous to make into a song?
A lot of Tehillim.
Tehillim make into songs, right?
Yeah.
Right, right. Every week, we always point out songs. Right. Right. And apparently, Shir HaShirim is a much bigger danger. But based on what we said, it makes a lot of sense. Because if you take Shir HaShirim literally, if you sing Shir HaShirim at a wedding, so you're taking that relationship between a man and a wife, and you're singing Shir HaShirim.
Are you making it public?
You're making it public, and you're talking about this man and this woman, human beings, using the parable of Shir HaShirim. But that's the biggest danger that Shir HaShirim has. The biggest danger is learning it as a typical love song between a husband and a wife. So if you take the song of Shir HaShirim, Song of Songs, and you start singing it at weddings, or you sing it at, you know, l'chaims or engagement parties, or whatever it is, so that's the biggest danger. That's what the rabbis were so worried about. Because you're taking these holy words, and you're just making it into another love song. So again, so there are hater, I don't want to walk out and, you know, the next wedding you go to, you're going to storm out in the middle of the chuppah. There are a lot of leniencies to rely on. Some people say if you're doing it to get inspired, if you're doing it to make the moment more meaningful and more spiritual, so maybe that's okay. Maybe the only problem is when you're doing it, you know, at a carnival or something, or you're doing it at a Purim party or something, I don't know. But there are a lot of leniencies, but so I'm not bringing this for the real halacha, just to show you that Shir HaShirim, the Song of Song, is really a double-edged sword. On the one hand, it's so, so holy. It is the holiest of all the songs, surpassing Az Yashir, surpassing Zam, surpassing Tehillim. On the other hand, it's a big danger because you take the words literally, and so why I'm stressing it in this first class so much is because when we're going to go through the text the next couple of weeks, we're not going to do the literal translation because it really is a double-edged sword. It's very dangerous. That's not how Shlomo intended it. He didn't want you to take it literally. And this is what the Gemara says, warning us, don't turn this into another love song. Don't turn this into beautiful poetry, but realize what it's about. Realize that it's about Hashem and the Jewish people. Okay, let's now, we're going to conclude with the next couple of sources. And I printed a couple of the actual introduction. This is an introduction class to Shir HaShirim. So if you look at source number 10, it's on the same page actually, before we turn. The English on the next page if you want. I'm going to read from the Hebrew. So Rashi, this is Rashi's introduction to the Song of Songs. So Rashi says like this, a beautiful introduction. Va'omer ani, Rashi says, this is my take on Shir HaShirim. Shira Shlomo Baruch HaKodesh. King Solomon saw with his Holy Spirit, She'asidin Yisrael legalos, the Jewish people were to go into exile, gola acher gola, exile after exile, churban acher churban. Think about all the churbans, all the destructions we went through. Forget the actual temples. Think about all the persecutions, all the hate that we're living in now. So Shlomo saw all of this. He saw all that the Jewish people were going to have to deal with. Ul his own and begola zen, they were going to cry out and they were going to mourn while they're in exile. They're going to think back to what was. They're going to think back to, you know what it was when we left Egypt? You know what it was when we got the Torah, we had the Beis HaMikdash? They're going to long, for thousands of years, the Jewish people are going to long for what was. V'lizkor chiba rishona. They're going to remember that first love. Asher hayu segula lo mikol ha'amim. Hashem chose them from all the nations. They spoke to Hashem at Har Sinai face to face. They were given the Torah. They were on the highest of all levels. Le'emor, it says in Hosea, Elcha v'ashuv al ishi. The Jewish people are speaking, I want to return to my husband. Ki tov li az me'ata. It was so much better then as it is now. So Jewish people are going to realize throughout history when they sin and when destruction does happen, they're going to think back and they're going to wish, they're going to long for that original love that they had with Hashem. V'yizkru et chasadav. They're going to remember Hashem's kindness. And they're going to remember the things they did wrong. And the promises that Hashem gave to us. That's going to happen at the end of days. So that's why Shlomo wrote Shir HaShirim. Because he was standing at the building of the Beis HaMikdash, feeling that love, feeling that moment, and he realized that there's going to be a very, very long Jewish history that's going to be full of destruction, full of chorba. And so he gave the Jewish people a book that we can read it, and we can remember what that was to be so close to Hashem. What it meant like to be at Har Sinai. Think about what it meant like to go through the Yamsef, to go through the sea. They saw Hashem split the sea, an open miracle. They pointed to Hashem. In Az Yashir we say, one of the lines we say is, Zekeli, this is my God, ve'anveyu, and I will glorify Him. And the rabbis teach us, whenever it says Zeh in the Torah, it means something you could point to, something tangible. So that means when the Jewish people were going through the Yam Suf, Zeh Keli, this is my God. He became tangible to them, whatever that means. So think about that, what that relationship was. And so Shlomo gave us a book that throughout history, whenever we go through difficult times, and whenever we realize that we're not where we're supposed to be, we have a book, A, to remember what was, to remember the love that Hashem felt for us and still feels for us, and to long for the future when we will be reunited. V'yosar ha-sefer hazeh, and Rashi continues, and Shlomo wrote this book, B'ruach HaKodesh, with divine inspiration. B'loshon isha tzerura, in the parable of a woman, Almana Chayos, who is basically, we said, like a living widow. Meaning she's not a widow, someone who is estranged from her husband. Mishtokekes al-baila, who longs to be close with him again. Misrapekes al-doda, again longing for her beloved one. Maskeres ahavas ne'ureya ilav, who remembered the love of her youth, Umoda Halpasha, and admits what she did wrong. That is Rashi. Let's turn the page to the final page, and this we're going to close. We're going to have two more brief introductions, then I'm going to leave off with one question, something to think about for the upcoming week. Look at source number 11 now. This is no English, I apologize, so I'm going to translate. Lefi shesh, why is it called Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs? So says the commentator, the Mitzudas David, one of the great commentators on all of Nach, we quoted him a bunch of times in Tehillim. Levisha Shlomo Chiber Shirim Harbe. Shlomo, King Solomon, wrote many, many songs. How many? Kemosha Kasuv, Vayehi Shirov, Chamisha Ve'elef. He wrote 1,005 songs. 1,005 songs Shlomo wrote. Right, we spoke about David's Dav Tefillah for his son Shlomo, and then you realize that it came true. Shlomo was the wisest of all men, was a righteous man. He wrote over 1,000 songs praising God. But out of all the songs, Lachain Amar, Pesicha the Sefer Hazeh, that is why at the beginning of the Song of Songs, it says, Shir HaShirin, the Song of Songs. Why? Because Zeh HaShir, Hu HaMeshubach, it's the most praiseworthy, Vehanale, it's the most exalted, Mikol HaShirim, from all the songs, HaMechuyasim, that are attributed to Shlomo. And then he writes also, Al Ki, why is that? Because it's a Shir Yedizus, it's a song of friendship. Yisaper bo et kol toke. It describes the love and the connection, ahava ha'aza, the intense love, the dibok ha'amiti, and the true connection, shebein hakel yisparach, between God, obein amo, and between the Jewish people. Fine. Let's finish now with source number 12. This is where we're going to close. So this is the Torah Tamim. He's also quoting from the Medrash. And he explains very interesting, on a different note, why is Shir HaShirim the holiest of all books? A lot of books talk about God's love for the Jewish people. A lot of books talk about the Jewish people's love for God. Tehillim, every other chapter is talking about David's love for Hashem. So why is Shir HaShirim the greatest? So he says over here, I'm going to read it in the Hebrew, I'm going to skip the first couple of lines. My time, why is Shir HaShirim the greatest? Lifi Shebe Kol HaShirim, in all other books, all other songs in the Torah, O HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekalis LiYisrael, either Hashem is praising the Jewish people, oh Yisrael, or the Jewish people are mekalsin oso, are praising him. So why is Shir HaShirim greater than Az Yashir? Why is it greater than the song that we sang at the sea? Because the song we sang at the sea was very one-sided. The Jewish people are praising God over and over and over again. But you don't see a response on God's part. Where in Az Yashir, we can say tomorrow, if we focus on our davening, or next time we lane it, you don't have a response of God. We have the Jewish people praising God. Or Tehillim. You have David praising God and loving God, but you don't see, really, in the same paragraph, a back and forth, a conversation between God and the Jewish people. Except for what? Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim is different. Biram Hacha, towards the end of the paragraph, but here, Hu Mekalis LiYisrael, God praises the Jewish people, V'Yisrael Mekalsin Lo. It's a back and forth. The whole book, 8 chapters, a beautiful back and forth between God and the Jewish people. And so that's Shir HaShirim. That's the introduction to Shir HaShirim. I want to leave off with one question. This is my question. I don't know if it's a valid question or not. But Shlomo clearly is trying to illustrate for us the ultimate love between God and the Jewish people. Now, in the Torah, whenever Hashem speaks about the love it has for the Jewish people, the parable it gives is not between a husband and a wife. Often, what does God call us, awfully? Banim. Banim atem Hashem lakeichem. You're my child. And even if we're honest with ourselves, again, if my wife was here, I would say the same thing. But the love that a parent has for a child, it's hard to compare it to anything else in the world. It's hard to compare that as much of a strong relationship as hopefully we have with a spouse. It's hard to ever imagine a relationship that trumps, that beats a love of a parent for a child. And so often God always calls us, you're my child. Even in halacha, I don't know what happens in secular court. Maybe now you could sort of separate from your child and get divorced from a child. But there's no concept of that in the Torah. You can't get rid of a child. There's no way to break that bond between a parent and a child. So a question that I'm thinking about to leave off, we can hopefully start next week, is that why does Shlomo in this parable choose to do it between a husband and a wife? He's trying to show you the love between God and the Jewish people. So I could have wrote a book about a child who sinned against their parent and was far away and is longing to be reunited. A parent longing to be reunited with their child. For some reason, we'll have to focus as we go through the chapters. For some reason, Shlomo didn't do that. Shlomo didn't want to write a book about a parent and a child. For some reason, he wanted to capture the love of God and the Jewish people between a husband and a wife. For some reason, that relationship has something unique about it that is better to illustrate our relationship to God, maybe even more than a parent and a child. Even if maybe a parent and a child, the love is greater, for some reason Shlomo chose to give the parable of a husband and a wife. So that was an introduction to Shir HaShirim, and hopefully after this introduction we'll all be ready, be motivated to go. Starting next week we'll go through the chapters.